Totally awesome 80s.
Flashback.
What's it gonna do when Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world run wild on you?
I pity the fool.
Oh, gnarly.
I'll be back.
Shall we play a game?
Oops.
La 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 la, sing a happy song.
Clap on, clap off.
Ooh, yeah!
Heard the beat!
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
I Live the 80s, a podcast celebrating everything 80s.
What's up? I think someone used the wrong intro.
Hey, oh, well. We went old school for Google, a change.
Google will have a field day with that one, or Facebook, either one of them. One of them didn't like something in there. Ah, well. What are you going to do? Hello to all of you. It is time for another episode of I Live the 80s. And as always, with me, the co-captain of the Wayback Machine, and of course, Mr. Google. We're going to have to find out what's going on with Google's...
Hey, Joseph.
Outfit. Google, what's going on with the outfit, Google?
Oh, Joseph, how are you today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Oh, I'm just making so much money, Joe. So last week when I was looking for my tie, I came across my old Chippendales outfit. And I've been stripping on the side, Joe, and I am making so much money. It is unbelievable, Joe. What? I'm working the nursing home circuit, Joe. And oh my God. The old lady, because they have so much money in their pocketbook that they're just throwing their coin purses at me. You're lucky I don't have a black eye. It just went away, Joseph. So,
well, at least somebody out there is making money, Google. You found a way to deal with it.
So funny story, right? I wanted to tell you right away, I got payback on Todd, Joseph.
You did.
I found him. I was so angry at your story last week that I went and I sought out Todd. I actually found the son of a beach and I looked for him and I found him, right?
Yep.
So I thought to myself, how can I get back at him? So I went and I looked and I went to the nursing home and I found his mother. And I went right up to his mother.
Oh, no.
And I made love to her.
Oh. Oh,
God. And then I went next door to the room to his father. And I went up to him. And guess what?
What?
I made love to his father.
Oh, my God.
So I got payback, Joe. Just for you, my friend.
Oh, my God. Yes, well, thank you, Google. I appreciate that.
Anything for you, brother. You know I love you.
I do, yes.
Now I have to go work on my glutes.
All right.
I'll be back. That.
We'll see you soon.
He's got a busy lifestyle, man.
He really does. He's got a way better lifestyle than we do.
He's got a busy life, man.
We've got Rockin' Wrestling's here. Rusty's here. What's up, Rusty? Thank you, Rusty, for the topic for tonight's show. We appreciate that.
Rusty, don't podcast and drive.
Yes, I'm driving and I'm here. Google is not disappointing already, says Chuck. Yes, right off the bat. So we are here tonight to talk all about game show hosts, and we're going to go over who some of our favorites are. Of course, you can do the same in the chat. Tell us who some of your favorites are. But we're going to go back to, and as you can see, the collage in back of us is Mr. Richard Dawson getting in his, of course, his kisses to all of the women who appeared on Family Feud. Man, COVID would have been bad with Richard Dawson, dude. Richard Dawson wouldn't have had a job.
Super spreader, to say the least, huh?
Yes, it would be. So that is our topic.
I think he spread something else.
He probably did. So we're going to talk all about game shows. We've got two songs tonight on Mixtape Minute, which we actually have two videos. One is from Lucy Dreams. Again, thank you to them for reaching out and sending us their newest song. So we have that for you tonight. And we also have one from our good friend Scott. So Elevate the Sky. Probably his best song that I think he's done. And it's all about superheroes, which I figured would be a great topic tonight because, of course, Doctor Strange being in the theater, which me and Ed just saw last night, by the way.
It's awesome.
Was very good. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. And we will get started, as always, with Flashback to the Future. So I've got a couple this week. The first one, of course, is Cobra Kai. The Cobra Kai trailer is out, and they moved it back. So we don't have to wait until New Year's, Ed, this time. It is coming out in September. So right away, we're going to get to see what happened after the conclusion of the last season. If you haven't watched that show yet, oh, my God, you need to. But we're going to get to see it early, Ed.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
No. September. Yes. So another awesome thing. And how I didn't know this, on Tuesday, 42 years ago, it was the debut of Friday the 13th, which I figured is appropriate since in 2 days, it's Friday the 13th. So, yeah. In 1980, who knew? And I said, I get associated with that character probably more than anything else. And I'm like, you know, who knew I'd be associated with a psychotic, murderous zombie killer at some point in my life? But yeah.
One day they'll pin the murders on you, Joe.
They'll pin.
Pretty good.
Ever since I was a young man, I don't even think I got to see any of those because they came out. So I was only, oh my God, I was probably only 11 maybe when the first one came out. So obviously I wasn't able to see them then. I don't think I started really going to see them until probably part six, part seven. But of course I went back and watched them and stuff with the means of VHS tapes that we used to rent and, you know, watch rated R movies at my cousin's house next door. So. All right, who else is out there? We got Gwynny is here. Hey, Gwynny, how are you working on cosplay stuff? Big Dan is here. I briefed my mother on my prom story last night. She admires it. I think I brought everybody down. I'm glad I'm past that. It was good.
That was like your sharing moment. I think that all out.
Yeah, it was good. Did
you get any letters in the mail, or did you get any kind of like packages? Did anybody reach out to you? Any counselors?
I did. And although my cousin Adam, who watches the show, consoled me afterwards, he's like, "You poor dude." but he actually told me to. Yeah. He told me too. He said, "Listen, I took a girl who was a junior as well," and he said we had a horrible time. He goes, neither of us talked all the way home. And he said, "But then I went to a party afterward." So you know, it's all good. It's all good. And I was talking to my wife a little bit about it, and she said, you know, it's different today, obviously, with the kids. They go as friends, you know, so there's no real pressure. And they all just go in groups of friends and stuff like that. So, see, if that would have been the case, probably would have been a lot better.
Yeah, they do, like, a big thing now. It's like you have to ask them, and it's like a big grand thing. Don't kids nowadays do something like...
It's just, yeah, completely different. You know, yeah. that was the whole thing. And you didn't want to not go because then you really looked upon years ago as being, oh my God, this guy's terrible. You know, not going. So you didn't want to not go. So it was even more pressure to do that. So can Jason beat Father Time? Jason can't beat anyone right now, Rusty. Yeah, that Jason couldn't beat a lawsuit. Apparently that's what is holding that up. I wish if they ever get through that and have another movie, they've got to come out with one more. It'd be 13. It'd be Friday the 13th part 13. Man, they got to do it. Ed Todd still has the mullet, but the boss cut is a bald spot.
He has like the skit. Remember the skitch burns where like they would take the razor and they'd buzz the burn, the skitches in the side.
Yes.
Oh my God, there's some ugly haircuts.
Yes.
And the rat tail. Oh my God.
I can't
My hair was curly, so I couldn't do the rat tail. I had like it curled under. It looked like crap.
I could never grow mine long. Mine was high because I had a lot of hair, and it was high because of the curly stuff. But I could never grow it long. It never really grew past maybe my neck. I couldn't really grow it out long.
I couldn't grow long hair either. And then it all fell out. So look at
All right. Well, do we have it on this day, Ed?
Yeah. Are we at that part already?
We are. Yes.
Wow. Do you remember too? I remember like after the 80s. Do you remember? Well, that wouldn't be you, but do you remember frosting your hair like the tips? Did you? You? I don't think you ever did that, did you?
I never.
Oh my God. I had this girlfriend that we would get that like plastic, the hair thing, and we put the hat on, and she would take the, it looked like a crochet needle, and she'd jab it through the hole because it had like the circle holes on it, and she'd jab it through the holes and pull it out, and then you'd put the no wonder why I'm bald, and then you put the burning perfume solution on it, and bleach the white smell, tip.
Yeah, oh my God, awful.
Oh, the things we did.
They used to do that on the when I would go and I had those stupid curlers put in. They had to put that perm solution on there too, and oh my God, you have your head under that plastic crap. And then smelling that stuff for like 2 hours while it's getting heated up. Oh, dear God, the things.
Oh, and then the manic panic. Oh,
my God. The things we did. Yeah. But at least at least those didn't use an entire can of Aquanet. True. What about a Friday the 13th set during the 60s and 70s and a younger Jason as a teenager? And Rusty said, Disco Jason. Brilliant.
He's wearing a big ass medallion with his chest hair hanging out, stuff like the Bee Gees. He's in a Bee Gees jumpsuit.
He's listening to the Bee Gees. Why not?
They're playing Staying Alive while they're running away from him. Wouldn't that be great? So, all right, on this day, the final episode of Dynasty aired.
Wow, Dynasty was huge. Dallas and Dynasty came on back to back, if I remember correctly. I used to watch both of them. It was my mom watched them, of course, and I watched Dallas primarily for the opening of the music showing Dallas Cowboy Stadium. But I kind of got into that show because I like JR and I like Bobby. Dynasty, I didn't get into very much. My mom liked it, but I didn't get into Dynasty as much. But yeah, both huge shows in the 80s.
Nice. In 1981, Bob Marley passed away from skin cancer. He was 36 years old. He was just an outstanding musician. Bob Marley was awesome. And, so you think to yourself, if, you know, all these great musicians didn't die, how our music would be right now, you know? But
yeah,
it's such a shame. But yeah, he passed away. One of my absolute favorites that I loved during the 80s growing up, that just even when I hear the opening today, again, music just takes you back and you hear it and it just, you could close your eyes, hear the theme song, and it just, you could picture yourself at that moment. But the first WWF Saturday Night's main event premiered on NBC in 1985.
I really miss that. I loved it. Yeah, I did too.
It was not just new stuff, but like back then, oh my God, I loved
it. It was only an hour long, but it was always so good. It would come on late. It would come on like, it was 11:30, I think it would come on. It would go to 12:30.
It was to take place at Saturday Night Live, I guess. Yeah. He had some kind of an agreement or something with them.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah, they were so good. I mean, that was back in the days of the superhero wrestlers in the 80s, and you had Hulk Hogan used to be on that. I remember seeing Hogan and, oh my gosh, King Kong Bundy wrestle on Saturday Night's main event. They always had pretty good matches on there too and good promos.
Yeah, so, I would look forward to it so much. I remember like my parents would let me stay up when it was on. My dad was a big wrestling nut, and he got me into wrestling, and like, I just remember he would say, hey, it's on this week. And I'd be like, really? He's like, you could stay up. And like, you know, we would go, my parents would go grocery shopping every Saturday. That was their, ritual. And, he would say, you know, this week you could get, you know, pick whatever snacks. And I remember, I think the thing back then was sour cream and onion Chex Mix. I used to love, I think that was, they had that. Or Tater Skins. Remember Tater Skins? Yes. Cheddar cheese tater skins.
They brought those back. They make them again. They have the bacon.
Did it really?
Bacon. Yeah.
Sour cream and onion. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to love those. So I would get those and I would stay up late and eat those and get a tummy ache. But I got to see Hulk Hogan and everything. That was great. That's awesome. What else? I'm trying to see what else happened. Firestarter was released in 1984.
And it's going to be released again in 2 days. What comes around goes around. They're releasing a new one.
Bah, I hate the reboots. They can think of something unique.
Yep.
You know, Avatar 2, that's unique, right, Joe?
Let's
see, 80 spurts. What do we got? The Sixers beat the Lakers 105-102 to tie the series. Pete Rose stole second, third, and home in the first inning in 1980. Kevin McHale and Maurice Cheeks were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Cats opened on Broadway in 1981.
Hey, wow, dude.
Ran 21 seasons.
And that's still going. That's still on Broadway today. That's crazy, man. Bob Marley's son played football for the Miami Hurricanes, and I believe he played with The Rock. Falcon Crest gets no love. I think my mom watched that one too, Rusty. Yep. Coco Beware says, oh my God, remember Coco with the bird? I loved Firestarter as a child, but I agree. Why do reboots? Horror stuff is always going to get rebooted and remade now. And I think that came about because of it. When it got rebooted, it made gobs and gobs of money, and those movies are so cheap to make. They don't really have to do anything but some makeup effects and stuff, blood, and they're so cheap. So they're gonna put them out now. Listen, I love it, but like Ed said, there's things that just don't need to be redone.
Instead of rebooting it, like reboot Avatar instead of Avatar.
No, that was the worst part of my night last night, was seeing that stupid trailer. And you know what? There was a kid, the dude I was sitting next to was literally recording it. I'm like, what the hell are you? I'm looking over, and he has his phone, and he's
I saw you, and I'm like, what is Joe looking at? And you kept giving him the alligator side eye, and I'm like,
he's recording the freaking movie. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you seriously doing? The dude came in and sat down last second, so I don't even think that he had a ticket, or he had a ticket for somewhere else in the theater. He just planted himself right there because he was in a good view where we were in the row. So he sits there. So that pissed me off because I had my M&Ms and stuff on his chair. So he walked in last second. I had to move all my stuff. So that pissed me off at the beginning. And then all of a sudden I see him, and he tapes the trailer, and then he's doing it, and he's editing it, and he's doing all this shit. I'm like, what are you doing? And see, first of all, you're not supposed to tape shit in the movie theater. And then I'm thinking, is he going to record the whole damn movie? Because he had his phone out in such a way that it was lighting up the area. And I'm like, if he has his whole friggin' phone out, I'm going to go outside and tell him he's recording the movie. But luckily, he put the thing Mitch. Away. But
that, you know what they say about snitches, Joe?
I know. Mm-hmm. Hey, they get snitches,
really,
but
really fast. I'm just gonna buzz through from 80 to 89. I'm just gonna go fast. Call Me, number one songs. Call me. Morning Train by Sheena Easton. Wow. Chariots of Fire, Beat It, Against All Odds, So Joe Could Cry, Crazy for You, West End Girls, I Just Died in Your Arms, Wishing Well, and Like a Prayer. Bam, that's it. There's your facts.
Just like a prayer.
We saw Cats in London in 2001. Pretty cool.
That's awesome. The only Broadway show I've ever seen was Phantom of the Opera. I saw that on Broadway.
Our daughter is really like obsessed with it. I think we're going to take her to see it this year.
Phantom.
Yeah. I keep screaming that part. I keep going, sing! Like that part. That's my favorite part.
It was so cool. I remember seeing when they were in the boat and the way they look, the way they do it with the fog, it made it look like the boat was like going across water, and that it was really cool. It was cool to see.
Yeah.
Loved Firestarter as a child. Why do reboots? I saw Cats in London. What? Crazy Mommy. That is amazing. I just took our daughter to a theater to see it. It was amazing. I saw it in the mid-90s in NYC. I never saw
I Cats saw the commercials on WPIX.
Did you ever go... Did you ever go when you were a kid to like any of the dinner theaters or anything like that with your parents?
No,
never went to any of those around. There were a bunch around the area. Janetti's always had them up here, and we used to go to shows all the time. My mom worked there. She was a waitress. So I saw a lot of the shows and stuff like that. I remember she befriended a girl who was in the cast of Annie, the girl who played Annie. And she was on the road with this troupe of people that were doing these shows. So I remember, but it was cool. It was cool. I liked the theater. Awesome. It's fun stuff. All right, let's get to, I believe, our mixtape minute is up next. So, Ed, which song are we doing first?
Didn't you want to do Lucy Dreams?
Lucy Dreams?
Yeah.
Let's start off with This Is a Song by Lucy Dreams. And again, thank you to them. It's lucydreams.net. They are also on Twitter, if you're on Twitter, and that's at Lucy Dream S Dreams DP. Lucy Dreams DP. So let's check this out. And they were pretty excited to get on our show. And again, we thank them for sending us the music. So here we go.
Ready?
All set.
Kind of looks like the Phantom.
A little bit, yeah. Was all Lucy right. Dreams and Dreamland. Again, thank you so much for giving us that and volunteering the music for us. That's awesome.
Dan, I was going to say the same thing. Kind of reminds me of Doctor Strange. Right, sorry, Joe.
Stranger Things, Doctor Strange vibe. Nice. Well, we've got a theme tonight. Strange. So there you go.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy. What's going on? How are you? Wishing Well was a number one. Never would have guessed. Yeah, that song was popular when it first came out. So I went to medieval times, said Nancy. All right. So up next, we have got our friend Scott was kind enough to allow us to use this video of his. This is actually how I first heard of Scott and the music that he did. And the song is simply called Superhero. And I think it's honestly the best song that he's done. And I hope you guys will like it. Of course, it's all about superheroes.
Don't build it up too much, Joe.
I won't.
It's a dark night in Gotham City. Maybe Metropolis is meant for me. My sovereign heart still beats behind the wall of kryptonite. Where's my cape? Where's the sidekick to help me save the day? Fly high into the sky. I'll catch you if you fall. If only I had spidey senses, so I could tell when something's wrong. When I return to protect this heart from breaking into pieces. Where's my hammer? Where's the shield? All the strength to carry the weight of the world. Fly high into the sky. I'll catch you if you fall. I'll catch you if you fall. Fly high into the sky. I'll catch you if you fall.
That is Superhero by Elevate the Sky. That scene with Superman always gets me. Always. That was the first time you saw him fly in that movie, when he took off the, you know, and just shot up after Lois Lane. It was the very first time you saw that. And the way they advertised that film when it came out, of course, is "You'll Believe a Man Can Fly." That was the tagline. So seeing that brings back a lot of memories for me, because again, that was 1978. So I was all of nine when I saw that. So really cool. Really cool. And the song is awesome.
I was floating around in my daddy's testicles for half of the year. And then after that, I came out and then I saw Superman.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't remember it, but 78 was a good year. I was born.
It's a good year, dude. It's hard to believe that that's that old. Like, and really, it started it all. I mean, other than the 60s Batman, you know, if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have all these movies that we're getting today.
See, I disagree. I think that Spider-Man TV show. 78 Spider-Man.
I actually love that show. No,
I love the theme. The theme is the best. I think it's my ringtone somewhere.
I have it somewhere too. Mm-hmm. The porn music theme. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, best theme. It's awesome.
Boom, so there boom, you go. Boom. Make sure to check out our friend Elevate the Sky. That is Scott. Make sure to check out Lucy Dreams as well for more of their music. And thanks, obviously, to both of them for giving us permission to play their stuff on our channel.
Hi, Kalen.
That's Jesse. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
Hi, Jesse.
Jesse Callen, Callen Corner.
Callen?
Yes, that's Jesse. She popped in tonight. So that
welcome.
Said, yes, she's from the wrestling podcast.
Oh, well, welcome. So, yes, welcome. It's always good to have a crossover.
Yes. This is Scott's greatest video ever, says Big Dan. Watch the rest of it, Big Dan. It's really good. Really,
it's like good. It's like when they do cross promotions now, and like New Japan and like AEW.
That's right.
Now we have like the wrestling podcast and our podcast. Yeah, we're cross promoting.
Crossover. What the hell? Why not? Right.
Oh, hey, it's awesome.
All right. It's game show time, and as you can see, Ed was a guest on Love Connection. I was lucky enough to be on Pressure Luck. I got whammied.
The crowd downvoted me, so I guess we both got screwed.
No whammies.
Yeah.
Yes. So, all right, let's talk about game shows, and let's talk about some of those game show hosts that we loved from the 80s. Ed, where should we even start here? I mean, I guess the man with the collage in back of us would probably be a good place to start.
I think we should start with him, man.
The
biggest pimp daddy. Dawson.
The Romeo of game show hosts, Mr. Richard Dawson. So Family Feud was huge in the 80s. I mean, I had a Family Feud game that we used to play. And, of course, Richard Dawson going around kissing all of the women in the entire line of both families. You know what, man? I wonder if they were uncomfortable with that, or like how they felt about that whole thing. I mean, because look at that picture on the top left. He's not going for a cheek. He's not going for a cheek there, man. He's going for right on the lips.
He always went for lips.
Look at them. Look at the one down in the bottom. Dude, that guy with the stash looks like the guy from Three's Company. The bald guy. What the hell is that guy's name? The neighbor. The annoying Larry? Guy. He played a whole bunch of parts. Yeah, no, Larry. I love Larry. Had the big hair.
I'll tell you, put Larry and Google together, man. And I'll tell you.
Oh, dear Lord. You don't want to see that happen. The universe might implode.
It would double the population in China if you put, like, Larry and Google together. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be scary.
But I mean, look at all of them. He is not. None of those are on the cheek. None of those are on the. I mean, they're right on the lips. Survey says I just gave you hepatitis. Says Nancy. Yes. You gotta wonder. I mean, you know, he did it all the time, all the time. And this was during the age generation. So. Crazy, man.
But didn't get Richard that Dawson, from.
Where did he what?
You didn't get AIDS from kissing.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
Come on, Joe. I mean, they taught you that. You don't get it from drinking on a water fountain using a toilet. That was the things they taught you in school. What the hell, Joe? What, you regress?
I didn't say he got AIDS from it. I said it was living in the AIDS generation.
Come on, Joe. Yeah. You didn't watch VHS tape in health class?
I don't believe we watched VHS tapes in health class, no. My health classes were very boring. We didn't see any of that stuff. That didn't happen back then.
I got yelled at for making sound effects during the Miracle of Life. When the baby came out, I was like making like sound effects. My buddy puked.
Why does that not?
That's surprise? How mature I was. Yeah.
So Richard Dawson, again, you know, this guy was something else. With all the women and just I mean, listen, he was a great game show host though. He really was. And you know, the Family Feud kept going even after and he had different hosts and stuff like that, but it was never the same thing. He was really a charismatic dude, and this is what you had to be. If you were on these shows, you were the star. It's like Bob Barker, who Big Dan just mentioned. You know, you were the star of that show, and Richard Dawson was the star of Family Feud. So,
and then Dawson went on to The Running Man. I mean, you can't forget that awesome cameo
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Not cameo, but
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he was the villain in Running mm-hmm. Man, wasn't he? Yeah.
He made the best. That was like literally the best. He was the appearance on there.
And he kind of played a game show host in that anyway, so it wasn't really far-fetched. It was a game show anyhow, so mm-hmm. yeah.
So all then right. he left, and then Ray Combs took over for him. And then Ray Combs sadly ended up taking his own life.
Ray Combs, I remember because
he had the side hair. It was like
the same thing that my wife has. My wife had Crohn's, has Crohn's, and he suffered from that. And that was again before they really even knew what it was. So, and I think that was part of the reason why he may have committed suicide. So, yeah. And now, did somebody come after him, or did it go right to? Oh my God, who's doing it today?
Steve Harvey.
Did it go right to Steve Harvey from Ray?
Didn't Louis Anderson do it for a while?
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Louis Anderson did it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
God rest his soul. Louis Anderson passed away too, right?
He did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Wait, we're versed in so much useless knowledge, aren't we?
I know, right?
My God. I was this good in like thermodynamics and shit like that, I'd be really rich, you know? But
speaking of, all right. So, I'm going to move on to the guy that I'm kind of sitting on his set right now. So Peter Scolari. Peter Scolari. Not the Bosom Buddies guy, no. Peter Tomarkin from Pressure Luck. This dude had some real good hair. He was one of those animated kind of jovial guys. And, you know, I don't know that he did any other game shows. Some of them did several. They wouldn't just do one. They'd try them out in all different kinds. They would do one and kind of hit on that one and stay on that one for a while, but then they would end up somewhere else. But Peter Tomarkin, I just remembered because of the strange name that he had. But again, very friendly. I always wanted one of those microphones that they used. They were like those really, really long microphones with the little flat top on the front. Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen, I don't even know where they got them from. They must have been a studio only thing because I always wanted to have one when I was a kid to kind of mess around and pretend you're a game show host. Yes, I did want to do that. I was a sad child. Ray Combs was a great guest broadcaster on the Survivor Series for the Heartfelt. Oh, okay, in wrestling. Nice. Peter Tomarkin was killed in a plane crash, says Dan. I did not know that.
He and his wife both were, yes.
Oh, wow. Damn.
In 2006.
So the Pressure Luck host. How about Ed? Well, since you're right on his Chuck Woolery.
Now he was just the way he would sit there with his suave jacket and his shirt unbuttoned, the top button unbuttoned with his sport blazer,
the chest hair a little bit sticking
and
out.
And then, you know, as a game show host, you have to have your fancy catchphrase. And what was the catchphrase? We'll be back in two.
And two.
My thing is cut out, yeah. And that was his big fancy thing, man, the 2-2. And, you know, everybody knew that. And I'll tell you what, I would almost bet that Chuck, the ones that didn't get picked on Love Connection, he took those home. He took those women home after the show. Like if they didn't pick the host up there, like, and they didn't meet and they're all sad and lonely, it's probably like, hey, come on back to my Hollywood pad. You know what I mean? Guarantee it.
I used to watch that show, and I'd actually feel bad for some of the guys.
You could have three of them, you know, you remember?
Yeah, like you know, and then they would come back. They'd do the repeat show. They would say, okay, you know, let's find out what happened with these guys on their date. And then they come back and they like totally hate each other. Yeah, it was just a mess. So I was addicted to that show. I watched it all the time. But that was when I learned, like Ed said, that a commercial was 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
He actually was the original, I believe, the original host of Wheel of Fortune back before Pat Sajak, too.
Was he really?
Yeah, way back when. Back when Wheel was cool, when they, you remember? And that was actually fun when they would go shopping for prizes.
Oh, yeah. When they would
throw their head up in the corner.
Damn, yes.
And then they would, like, pick the things out. That was kind
of cool. Yes. I used to, yeah, you know what? The game shows that did that. Like, there, what was the one about the mall? Where you would go to the different stores in the set that they had that looked like a mall, and they would pick out. I used to like stuff like that when it wasn't so like cut and dry. And now you just win money.
We're done with the podcast. Big Dan already got to all our hosts, so I guess we can end the podcast.
We can just quit now.
Thanks, Dan. We're done. All right. Well, I guess we could do other things tonight, Joe. What do you want to do tonight? Talk about other
Dan White. Oh, we could talk about Wheel of Fortune.
Gina says, was it Mall Madness? Was that the name?
Mall
of it?
Madness. Yes. Yes, it was. That was it. I like that one. It had like a two floor thing where they would go and they'd
and they would run around. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah, that was cool. How about Ken Oberman from Remote Control on MTV?
I love that show.
I did
that
too.
Was one of the best. Technically, it was a game show. Mm-hmm. I think it was more
It was kind of. I mean, it was probably more all about the music and stuff than it was the actual game and stuff like that. But that led to, who the hell was the comedian that ended up on Saturday Night Live? Google
it. It was Colin Quinn, and Adam Sandler was on. Adam Sandler was on there, Joseph.
There it is.
And then Colin Quinn was awesome. I love that man.
Yes.
He was a good wingman for a while.
He was.
Yes. We had a lot of poon, Joe. Joseph, did you know I'm starting my own game show with a bunch of, frisky people?
I did not.
It's called Who Wants to Hide the Sausage with Google.
Oh, my God.
Yes, John. Would you like to be a contestant, John?
I think I'll pass.
Okay. Well, you know, you can, if any interested party people are interested, just email our podcast. Who Wants to Hide the Sausage at Google.com.
At Google.com. There you go.
Google out. Not really a website, but whatever.
Chuck made a lot of Whoopi. Yes. Yes. And how about that, too? And how they called it making Whoopi. I mean, that was they did that on Love Connection. What was the dating game? They did that on the dating game as well. And Dan had mentioned in the comments too, all of these game shows had these weird moments. He was talking about the one on that the guy cheated on Pressure Luck. We mentioned that in our game show that we did. But you know, if you ever want to have a fun time with game shows, go look them up on YouTube and look up bloopers from game shows. Hilarious stuff. Like hilarious stuff. Bob Barker, when the woman ran down to be in the row, in contestants row, and lost her top. It wasn't wearing anything underneath. Uh-huh. She was wearing a halter top, and she kind of stood in front, and Bob's trying to get her attention. And then she turned around, as they do, to the audience to cheer. And of course, letting it all hang out and just jumping up and down in front of the audience. There's Bob, like, just embarrassed as all hell. I mean, there's so many bloopers on a lot of these shows. Supermarket Sweeps, isn't that? I love Supermarket Sweep.
So let's talk about another famous Bob, Bob Eubanks.
Bob Eubanks, yes, did the dating game, right?
No, the Newlywed Game.
Oh, Newlyweds. Okay, yeah, yes.
And the famous term that they use, making Whoopi.
Making Whoopi.
They have one of them. They always have like something like a coined term or something, you know, that and it just propels them, you know.
That's another one that got embarrassing too, especially when you're sitting there and you're watching that with your parents or stints or something, or you're watching that with your mom. That would get a little risque. They would start to talk. They'd ask them things, you know, what do you know about your spouse and all this other kind of stuff. And there's a blooper for that one too. It was a couple that was on there, and they said, what is your favorite place to make whoopee? That was the question. And
the back seat of a Volkswagen.
No. The wife's choice was, of course, a place. The man, and again, if this came out today, would have probably shut the show off. I don't know. The man answered in the butt.
I remember that one.
Like, oh my. And I didn't think it was real. When someone told me that, I'm like, no way. And sure enough, it's out there. I was like, wow.
Hi, Kim. Welcome. The Joker's wild. I remember that. That was the one with the cards, wasn't it? Yeah. Where they would flip the cards around and put them up on the thing.
Yep.
Do you remember Tic-Tac-Doe? That was with our good friend Wink Martindale.
Yes.
That was another good game show host. Yeah. Wink
Martindale. What a name. That's what I said. I don't. I bet you these guys, they're probably fake names. They'd have to be. I mean, Wink Martindale.
Tic-Tac-Doe was awesome because that had
the dragon. The
dragon, yeah.
Yes. The dragon would come out and roar when you got the. Wait, yep. I love that one too.
But you remember on the back on the Newlywed Game, you remember when the couples would get in fights on there? Like he would answer wrong, and then a woman would come over and start bitch slapping him. And you're like, boy, yeah, that's not a couple that's going to end up in domestic violence or anything like that, you know?
Jesse said, I watched Supermarket Sweep, Guts, and several others. I can't think of the names. My husband was on the travel version of one of them when he was a kid. Oh, that's cool. Let's see. There's an old story that's the Newlywed Game I was telling you about. Yep, Dan brought the story up there too. I love the Joker's Wild. The couples were so groovy looking. Love watching those clips on YouTube. Wink coined Whoopi.
Making Whoopi.
There's an NFL defensive coordinator named Wink Martindale. Wow, there you go.
Maybe I wonder if it's like a stun or something. Oh.
Might have been named after the game. There's a minor league hockey team in Macon, Georgia, called the Macon Whoopies. No way.
That's a good team. That'd be awesome to play for them.
That would be.
The Macon Whoopies.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Of course, we got to mention Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune was, we mentioned a little bit before, but of course, Pat Sajak, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the letter turner, Vanna White. Of course.
They go hand in hand.
Yes, they do. And Vanna had many a gentleman watching Wheel of Fortune during the night. Wheel of Fortune, and of course, Jeopardy with the late Alex Trebek.
Sucker Trebek.
Yes. Who was? Oh my God. Yes, and that Saturday Night Live skit. Oh man. Jeopardy was almost like an intellectual game. You'd sit there and watch. You wouldn't be able to guess almost any of the answers that they had because it was all like, you know, but they came opposite. They came on right after one another. One was at 7, the other came on at 7:30.
My buddy Dave's dad, he would watch it probably still does religiously. I remember every night, you know, I go over his house and 7 o'clock, I think it came on and he would watch it and he'd sit there and he'd be like, who is or what is, you know, who are? And man, he would literally, I would always say, Dave, why doesn't your dad go on Jeopardy? Because like his dad was awesome. He knew everything about it. He was great at it. So damn good.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How
about the guy's name was Jim Perry. And he did, which I mean, nobody, not a lot of people. I just have it here on my notes. He did Sail of the Century. Do you remember that show?
Oh, yeah. I
loved Sail of the Century. And on, what the hell's the app? The free one, Pluto. Pluto has a game show channel. And that's on there all of the time. And I love that. That was such a good show, Sail of the Century. Another one of those that I can watch it and it just takes me back to being homesick from school. And, you know, having the game shows on.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's what they were. A lot of them were on in the morning. And then early afternoon and stuff like that too. Let's Make a Deal. I remember watching Let's Make a Deal a lot in the afternoon.
Who's the host of that?
Oh my gosh. He was, man, I have to look that up.
Somebody help us.
Yeah. Who was, yeah, I'm sure Dan will know.
Google is reading the Kama Sutra, so he can't, he's already been through it like 100 times, so he can't.
Oh my gosh. I can't remember now. This was more of a 70s one.
Monty Hall. Dan.
Yeah, Monty Hall.
I know Dick Clark was the $20,000 or with ten.
Yeah, someone mentioned that in the chat. The $10,000 pyramid. Kim mentioned. Yeah, Dick Clark was the host of that. Yep, of course.
Wasn't Betty White on that? Like a lot of celebrities were on that, weren't they?
Yeah, they had a lot. They would always have the celebrity guest,
the celebrity, and then the poor person.
Yep.
And then they would help the poor person out. Nancy, I was getting there. I was working my way up to Mark Summers.
What about
Gwynny? You guys are like reading my mind. Or do you have a camera in here? You're looking at my notes because I'm working my way.
Monty Hall, yes. Double Dare on Nickelodeon. I think that started in the very late 80s. Yes. Yep.
Love Double Dare. Mm-hmm. I tried to get my daughter into it, and she kind of, I was like, you'll love the physical. And she's like, man, this is boring, Dad. She didn't really like it. I love Double Dare. I think Double Dare is awesome. That was such a good show.
Yep.
With the slime.
Yep. That's where that whole slime thing started, and that still goes on today. They use that.
The slime kind of started on You Can't Do This on TV.
Yeah, and then
Double Dare kind of coined it. But yeah, and do you remember what the hell was it? Funhouse? Do you remember that? Was it Funhouse? I think it was called Funhouse, where they ran through the goofy house. It was with JD something, JD Winters, or it was a game show. I have to look it up.
I don't remember that one. Was it like a fun house, like a circus fun house?
No, it was like a fun house, an American game show. It was 88 to 1991. The host was... of course, if YouTube weren't a bunch of communists, I could show you the trailer, but they would probably nail us.
Yeah, we're already in trouble.
J.D. Roth was the host. It was like an obstacle course where they ran through different rooms, and they had like price tags that they had to find, like different colors and things like that.
Big Dan saying, name that tune. Yes, that's a 70s one. But yeah, I like that. They always, the dude always played the piano and stuff like that. I want to name that tune with all 80s because I will make $1 million. If they ever allowed me on a show like that, I would make $1 million. So I want that to happen. They have that. They have it now, but they use all modern songs, which forget it. I would never get any of those.
It's like who?
Yeah, that started mostly in this. That was mid to late 70s. I think that came about, and then it went through the 80s a little bit. So delayed response because I'm driving. Well, don't get yourself into any accidents there, Jesse. Yeah, but Wheel of Fortune was my favorite as a kid. I thought it was something like Forest or something. Another win, lose, or draw. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's a great one. That was on in the daytime too. It would come on, I think, 11 o'clock in the morning. And that may have rivaled Price is Right for a little bit. And then they probably put it on at noon. But yeah, that's a great one. Who the hell was that? Who was the host? Now I have to look that one up too. Who was the host of Win, Lose, or Draw?
Here, dude. See if you see the picture. Can you see my screen I'm sharing?
Mm-mm.
I'm trying to share it.
Vicki Lawrence was one. Bert Convy. That's who I'm thinking of. I'll take Abe for... Yeah.
There, can you see my screen now?
Yes, there it is.
See it right here?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was Funhouse, remember?
Yeah,
and
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's what it was. Right, where they ran around like a goofy
thing. Was that on Nickelodeon too?
No, I forget what it was on, but I'm sure it was dangerous. And like, I'm sure kids got hurt, and there'll probably be like a documentary on there somewhere sometime soon on like HBO or something where kids got injured and sued them.
It was always my dream to get on a game show. But, and you had like, when I
found, sure it's not too hard now.
No, when I actually read about how you go about doing it, I mean, the whole thing is you have to live near the studio, which
and
most of them
in California.
That's the thing. Most of them were in California. There was a few of them that were in New York City, but you have to be, and you have to go in these to stand in line. The Price is Right one apparently was pretty unique, and a lot of them and Let's Make a Deal too is the same way. That's why a lot of people on Let's Make a Deal, you see them in those goofy costumes. Some people come in dressed as a hind end of a horse. One person being a horse end, the other one being a horse head. And they come into the show like that because they would get picked more. But Price is Right, apparently, same thing. Like if you, they would, I guess they'd interview you or something like that. And, you know, you really had to make an impression on them to call you. But yeah, I would have loved to have been in one of them. We there was a guy in our hometown that we lived in years ago that ended up on Wheel of Fortune. That was kind of a big deal, because it was such a small town that we all lived in. Everybody knew each other. And he ended up on Wheel of Fortune, but I always wanted to be on a game show. American Gladiators. That's a great one.
That is that would probably rank up there as one of my all time favorites. That was another one that, you know, brings me back. As a kid, you hear that theme song.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you're like, you know, you know.
That's a good question for the chat, though. If you ever got to be on a game show, what one would it be? What game show would you like to be on? If you got a chance to do that. Card Sharks. Oh, yeah, when they would play blackjack. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bert Convy was in he was in Cannonball Run. You're right. Yeah, you're right. I remember that. But yeah, if there was a game show you could get on, what would it be? What would yours be, dude? If you could get on one game show, what would you pick?
Probably with my little girl, because she wants to do that one Wipeout. So probably okay. I'd get my ass kicked on Wipeout because she wants to do that. And I wouldn't make it past the first obstacle thing and probably get my neck snapped in half and be paralyzed for the rest of my life. So that would probably be it. But yeah, back in the day, I would have probably liked to have done remote control. Oh, now as a kid, probably definitely Double Dare, but you know, now as an adult, I would have definitely went on remote control. That would have been awesome to do that. Yeah. That would be fun. Like if I could transplant myself like right now and go back to like 1987, absolutely. Like to see all that. Oh my God. I wish I could like time travel and like, just not if I could time travel and not disrupt anything, but just go back like the Watcher and just observe things and just, you know, walk through everything and just not be noticed, but just observe everything. Like that would be my favorite superpower. If I could pick a superpower and do anything, I would just, because I love history so much and I just love it. I would just love to go through all different time periods. Like, I would choose to just go like be immortal and just travel through time forever and just observe all types of history and just walk through it, not interact with it, but just observe it. I would love to do that. That'd be my favorite thing in the world, because I would love to see it all happen. I just think it's so fascinating.
That's cool.
That'd be so fun. But
I'd love to be on Jeopardy or Family Feud. See, the thing with Family Feud is, though, Dan, you'd have to have a good group of people with you or you're screwed. That's the only thing with Family Feud. And I don't know if I'd want my family to have been on Family Feud. Kayla and Nancy said the same thing, not Family. Wheel of Fortune, because I'm good at it. Wheel of Fortune was almost just like kind of playing Hangman. If you played Hangman as a kid, it's almost kind of the same thing. You get the vowels out of the way and the S and the T and the L and what was it? STL. What was it, the ones they always guessed? It was STLNE.
R-S-T-L-N-E.
Yeah, was always the same ones that they use all the time.
Chuck, if I could be Doctor Who, that would be amazing. Oh, my God. If I could be a Time Lord, that'd be awesome.
Gwynny, I think I agree with you with Supermarket Sweep. I would have loved to do Supermarket Sweep, yes. Especially if I've watched it like I did, because, yes, you go right to that expensive crap that you know that's out there, like the meats and the diapers and all that kind of stuff. And there's a pattern to that. And you go out and you get all that stuff. And then you get one of those big bonus things and throw it in there. But yeah, I would have loved Supermarket Sweep doing that. I think, man, for me, win, lose, or draw, I think would have been a lot of fun. And Pressure Luck. Yeah. I love Pressure Luck. I would have liked that too. It was never a hard game. Even the questions and stuff that they asked were never really that difficult. So yeah, I would have
followed the person that answered the right one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan would be good on like those guessing. Dan says if we were a team on remote control, we'd be like the snowman and the bandit running booze.
I never understood buying vowels. Yeah.
No, because every letter has a vowel.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have an A and E. So, I mean, you buy it and it's going to narrow it down. So I could see that. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Yeah.
Carmen Sandiego. I remember the theme for that. I remember on Wheel of Fortune when you get the big puzzles, they were the most fun to watch because they were the ones that the people would really make a lot of money. I remember watching that. The guy got an inordinate amount of money. And when they had that $5,000 space on the wheel and I think he got the puzzle he had was one of those enormous puzzles and he guessed a T and there must have been like 7 or 8 T's in it. So he ended up having like $40,000. And I think he ended up winning. But yeah, that was when you knew it was going to get good, when you had a lot of letters in the puzzle. Oh, man. Just trying to think of a couple more that I used to watch. The primetime game shows.
They never really did well. Because, like, you know, that
well,
was,
Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune were primetime.
Yeah, right? But I mean, other than that, like, everything was mostly during the daytime, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, most of the good ones.
That's where they did their best stuff.
I like Let's Make a Deal because it was funny. Because they'd always have to pick what was behind door number 2. And, you know, you're going to trade in this can of Spam for what's behind one of those doors. And then they get up on stage and they'd have to pick one of the things. And they always get something stupid. If they lost, it was like a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni or something really bad. I wonder if those people ever got that year's supply of Rice-A-Roni.
Probably not. Who knows? Or probably they got the money comparable to it.
The consolation prizes. And that's another thing, too. If you look behind the scenes of game shows, when the people would win big, like on The Price is Right, let's say, and they won, let's say they won the car or stuff like that, they would always get a choice because California state taxes were so high that they would give them a choice. You can take the car, but you're going to pay about half of what you got there. So let's say the car was worth 12 grand back then because they weren't as much as they were now. But if they would have to pay 6,000 of it in tax for capital gains. So people a lot of times just say no, and they would take the money. They would just take the money for it instead, and they'd just walk away with the money, which I guess wouldn't have been a bad idea. You know, instead of all those prizes, the vacations and stuff like that, that they'd win and everything like that, to pay for them in taxes would have killed you anyway. Oh, my God, the Gong Show, Rusty.
But that was 70s, I think, wasn't it?
That was more 70s. It crossed over a little bit into the 80s. Rusty, you remember the Unknown Comic?
Yeah, he was big on that.
The guy used to wear the bag over his head. Oh my God, I remember the Gong Show. Yes, they come out and they do that, those really bad acts, and they'd get gonged.
Chuck, yeah. I had a waterbed and they were awesome, but the only problem with waterbeds was they had a heater underneath it.
Yes.
And once the heater, like if that ever went, oh my God, was it a pain in the ass to replace, because you had to drain the waterbed and get a new heating element and put it underneath. Oh my God, it was a nightmare. But I loved my waterbed. They were great.
Yeah,
they're really cool. But no, there wasn't any kind of back support or anything. And when you laid on it, you just kind of went like, you know.
Was Dance Fever a game show? Or was that just a show like Solid Gold? I remember that being, I thought that was more like a, not Solid Gold show in videos, but I thought Dance Fever was.
No, there was like Putting on the Ritz and all that, weren't there? Or Putting on the Hits. Wasn't that technically, wouldn't that be like a game show?
Thought Dance Fever though, that was from the disco era. So that was 78, 79, but I don't remember that being, you might be right. I just may have forgotten all about it. The dancers competed. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I forgot about it. I remember the theme song, Dance Fever.
But isn't it more like a competition, not like a game show? Like a game show is where like the people are at the podiums and they're asked questions. Like a competition show is different, isn't it?
Splitting hairs
or being too technical. Yeah. Win, Lose, or Draw was the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That started probably 86, 87, late 80s. I think it was later 80s. I wanted the trips on the prices, right? Yeah, they'd always have like the trips to Paris and Italy and, you know, and all those, the fancier places and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Do you remember Nickelodeon Arcade? That was where the kids, they would show video games that were coming out and they played video games. I forgot all about that. That might have been like 90, 91. But they would show like upcoming like Nintendo games.
Oh, I think I do, yeah.
Nickelodeon Arcade.
Yeah. Dancing Cliffhangers. Is that the one where the guy goes, and then falls off the edge? Yeah. My favorite game on Price is Right was the stupidest, easiest game on there. Well, actually two. Plinko.
Everybody loves Plinko.
And then the other one was the dice game where you roll the dice to win the car. Because that was, there was always strategy to that, higher or lower. And you'd hope to roll a six or a one. And then you would pick the higher or lower numbers. Those are my two favorite games on Price is Right. Cliffhanger, yes, yes. How do I narrow it down to one? I would have loved to have been on Guts. I would still love to be on Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, Supermarket Sweep, and Wipe Out. There's some weird ones today. My wife got into one that was almost like a, it's like a mystery kind of a thing where you have to pick the person who's the, there's four people and the host. I can't remember the damn name of this game now, but there was, they would try to figure out which one of them was the liar in the group. And they would all tell you what their careers were and all that kind of stuff. And you had to guess which one was the liar out of all of them. Who was lying? I can't remember the name of it now, but it was interesting. It's an interesting show. They do some different stuff now. All right. We are at the 10 o'clock hour. So that means it is time to do my captain's choice. It's time for the lyric of the week. So in case you are not familiar with this, Rusty and Jesse and those of you who are new, I will read the lyrics of a song from the 80s. And whoever guesses it, well, you get nothing because we can't give out prizes because we don't have money. We're poor. But you get recognition. You know, we'll shout you out. We'll say good job. That's what you'll do. Kind of like your parents used to do, you know. Back in the day. All right, so here we go. This one should be pretty simple. Okay. Well, I knew I was in trouble now. My hope of winning sank because I got the daily double now. And then my mind went blank. There you go.
I could probably guess it because it fits with the show.
Yes, definitely fits with the show. That was from back in the day too. Instead of jobs, they described it, lied about.
Dan's on the right track. Is it Our Love's in Jeopardy?
Yes, you got it.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured.
It was too easy. Yeah, the rest of it went in. I took Potpourri for 100. I couldn't read that one because it would have been. And then my head started to spin. Well, I'm giving up, Don Pardo. Just tell me now what I didn't win. And yes, don't forget the people in the background. Yeah, Don Pardo, who would always announce the prizes. Who was the one on Price is Right?
Or no, it was Big Dan and Chris. I lost that. I lost on Jeopardy. Yeah,
Chris got it too. Big Dan and Chris both got it. Yep. Who was the guy who? Oh my God, who was the guy who would call the contestants on Price is Right? Big Dan, I know one of you have to know.
Don Pardo?
Don Pardo. Don Pardo was the one on Jeopardy, but no, who was the one on Price is Right that called the prizes all the time? Yeah, I'm sure he's passed on by now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get all of y'all's recognition for, yes, you'll get this.
Rod Roddy.
Thank you, Dan. Yes, Rod Roddy. Had the music playing as he walked around. What was the song of the week? Answer, Nancy says, The Wiz.
It was The Wiz.
We're going to have to do a Wiz watch along one day, maybe. It's
We should.
We should watch along. You know, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I have it on Vudu.
I've never seen it.
We'd have to explain the watch along to everybody because, again, everybody's communist.
It's something down the road that we could end up looking into. Like if you guys are ever, ever free for the, you know, for during these, during the show, like we do something like smaller for an hour or something, we could always do something like that. Basically, you have to get everybody together at the same time and get something that everybody can watch at the same time. I can't show it on the screen, obviously, but you know, and then you could kind of talk about it. Like you could like just throwing something out there, you know. Like
I'm sure it's on YouTube. We could find the link, and then everybody just pulls it up in another browser, and then we say, "Okay, everybody, 3, 2, 1, hit play."
And you can do it for almost anything, like an episode of Happy Days or something like
that. And then we all just sit and watch it in the background and talk about it and be like, oh, hey, look at that part. Mm-hmm. And then
I have never seen The Wiz, Jesse. No, I have not. I know Michael Jackson. I've seen, obviously, Wizard of Oz countless amounts of times. That's going to be back in the theater, by the way. But I've never seen it. I knew Michael Jackson was in it. I know Diana Ross was in it. I've never actually seen it, though. Nope, I have not. Well, guys.
That's your homework.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to watch it. Mm-hmm. We are done. We are done for the night. So welcome. Welcome. Thank you.
I guess
for
I'll use the
us.
Old outro since I screwed up and hit the old one for the big intro.
I was wondering, I'm listening to them. I'm like, what is this?
I bumped it by accident. That's I have it saved. We'll alternate. What the hell? The hell with them. If they don't like it, tough.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. We really, really appreciate it. It was nice seeing Jesse and Rusty. Thank you for coming out. Rusty, of course, thank you for the topic. Rusty shouted out the topic for me this week, so thank you for that. Ed, when are we going to be back?
Let me see. What's today, the 11th?
I think you said you were working next week.
The next 2 weeks, yeah. So looking like the 1st? June 1st.
There you go. So June 1st, wow, it'll be hot fun in the summertime already. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. So we will be off for the next 2 weeks. We'll come back on June 1st, with our next episode of I Lived the 80s. So thank you all for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. I hope you had a good time looking back at all of these cool memories that we had. So we will see you all soon. Have a great week, guys, or a great 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see you for the next one. Take care, all.
Thanks, guys.